Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis. Know that we the lawyer way back from the beginning. A trusted source for the news. 7th night for Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis. Know that we been loyal even when we wasn't women. A trusted source for the news. 7th night for Hallis in your ears, you.
Awesome. The Bears.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another edition of 7th and Hallis. This is episode 290. It is your guy, Scott and Flows here, man. Of course, you know to follow us on all social media platforms at Barbershare Scott, at Flows and Delaney. Follow the Barbershare at Barbershare Co. And follow 7th and Hallis at 7th and Hallis, man. All of those links are in the description box, man. My personal YouTube page as well, the Patreon. All of that good stuff, man. But we are back here for another week. This is the longest that this podcast has run, and it is 11-year history now because they have never won a playoff game since 5 years before we actually came up with the idea of the podcast. So this is uncharted territory. Usually we're not doing nothing right now when it comes to the show. But we are here to recap last Saturday's incredible game against the Green Bay Packers, and we're going to talk about some other stuff that's been going on in Bears world, and also previewing this weekend's divisional playoff game at Soldier Field, where the Bears be welcoming former foe, NFC North foe, Matthew Stafford, or Stat Padford, as we so lovingly call him on this platform, and the Los Angeles Rams, aka the Scott Lewis Bowl, will be going on this Sunday night. But Flo, how you feeling, man?
I don't know how to feel right now. Obviously, this is all a positive. It's all a positive emotion, but it's like what? I'm so very unexperienced with playoff wins. You know, I think I've seen the year we went to the Super Bowl. Did we play a wild card? Or was just divisional conference and then Super Bowl?
Divisional Super Bowl because divisional conference Super Bowl because we were second seed. No, we were the first seed that year.
I'm not used to that at all. So I think in my lifetime, I've seen the Bears win 4 playoff games. Divisional of that 2006 divisional conference, and then 2011 or 2010, whatever it was, they won the
2010 they beat Seahawks in the divisional. Yeah.
And so now I've seen 4 playoff wins. So that's not something that happens common. So now I'm like, is it just necessarily hope or just like, that feeling like a what? Damn, like even now I'm struggling with the feeling. It's just the fact that I know that the Bears have a chance. Like I look at every single team that's left in the playoffs right now, and I think to myself, there is a world that the Bears can beat every single one of these teams. Now, it does get exponentially harder with each round, and there are plenty of teams I'm like, that's difficult. But a lot of that was based on the fact that, man, they had to get past their mortal enemy. And what you got to realize is that getting past a division foe who's dominated you for almost 3 decades is difficult in of itself. And I think that has more mental blocks than anything. But I look at the offense, I'm like, yeah, man, they scored 31 points, the vast majority in the fourth. That lets you know they can score. But part of that is just, man, for some reason you play the Packers and it's just a lot of mental mistakes that plague it. But now you're past that. That monkey's off your back. And now in the all-time playoff record, the Bears are 2-1 against them. You know, like that. Like so, it just shows. You
oh, how so, that's, much so that, they won the World War II Classic. I didn't know we won that one.
Right. So okay. That lets you know like how much things have changed between them, and how much this represents a literal monkey off your back. But I'm looking at the Rams, the Niners, the Seahawks, the Texans, the Patriots, the Broncos, the Bills, and the teams that like Patriots obviously are probably the best team that are in right now. The Bills are a team who have had so many chances as getting there but could never really make it that final push to get to the Super Bowl. You have the 49ers who have been there several times and have come up short. You got the Seahawks who probably have the best defense, if not the Texans, who have the best defense left and can really shut you down. And then Sam Darnold can find ways to win. And then you have the Texans who offensively they are the struggle bus, but defensively, ridiculous amounts of talent, skill, and speed. But I look at them and I think there's not a single team the Bears can't score on. defensively, I'm like, almost every single team can score on the Bears. But I also think last game against the Packers, you gave up 21 in the first half, and then you end up giving up only six in the next half, shutting down that defense. And the Packers had the number – where they were top 10 in offense most of the year. And so I'm thinking to myself,
they're top 10 in fishing this week.
Right. And so I'm thinking to myself, like, what does that leave the Bears now? You know, can they actually do this? And I'm unsure. I'm 100% unsure. I don't know what to think. But I'm
it's a weird feeling.
I guess like we're playing with house money right now. You know?
Yeah, it's true house money. I know some people were saying that last week. I disagreed because you all know how I would have felt if we lost that game. If we'd have lost that game, I would have been looking at the season much differently. Whether good or bad, that's just how it is when you play your most hated rival. And I think anybody who's a fan of a sports team who has a hated rival, you would feel the same way. But now that you have beaten your rival, not only have you beaten them, I think that, you know, in the calendar year, 12 months, the Bears played them four times in the last 12 months. The first one being obviously the last game of the 2024 season, where the Bears went to Lambeau Field, won for the first time in like a decade. And, you know, that was off the Cairo Santos field goal. But the Bears have beaten them three out of the four times they have played. So I think that, you know, for me personally, I can't speak for other Bears fans, but I'm pretty sure they agree with me that the monkey is off the back as far as, you know, how you feel going into these matchups. Now, that doesn't mean that the Bears never going to lose to the Packers again. I think the Packers have a good enough roster, a good enough quarterback. You know, I talk a lot of shit about Jordan Love. I just don't think Jordan Love's anything special. But I think you're a liar if you think he's not a good quarterback. Jordan Love is a good quarterback. When Michael Parsons gets back, hopefully he, you know, I like Micah. He just has the wrong jersey on. But I'm a Micah fan, so I'm not going to sit up here and act like I don't like Micah. But if Micah gets his speed back, which is a big question mark for defensive ends when they come back from an ACL injury, if he can get that back, they'll still be right back around. The problem for the Green Bay Packers is the Bears no longer fear them. For Bears fans, we no longer fear them. So that doesn't mean that we can't lose them, but it's not like a trauma thing. The Bears did two key things for me this season why I really feel like they weren't playing with house money. You took two of the worst moments of my life as a Bears fan and you healed them. 4th and 8 has a new meaning for me now. When I think of 4th and 8 now, I don't think of Chris Conte getting destroyed by Randall Cobb off a play to end the season when you just came out of a timeout. I think now of one of the craziest throws I've ever seen in my life, Caleb Williams to Roma Dunze with the season on the line. Off the back foot falling. That's what I'm going to think about with 4th and 8. I'm going to think about, you know, the Bears coming back in overtime, Caleb Williams and DJ Moore to win the division. That essentially won the division right there. That's going to be a core memory. And now granted, obviously wild card game ain't the same as the NFC Championship game. We all know that. There was more on the line in 2010. But that win, yes, on Saturday healed that 2010 loss because – It just did. And also, I think the biggest thing here, and Packer fans won't admit it, but deep down they know, we, for the first time in franchise history, not just in the last 30 years, in franchise history, have the better quarterback. Well, Jim McMahon might have been a better quarterback than whoever they had in the 80s. I'm not too sure who that quarterback was in the 80s, so I don't know. But like an actual gamer, we have the boogeyman now. And that's the scary thing for the Packers. So for me, when I think about what's coming here now, and it's a great feeling because I don't want to say I don't care about Sunday's result, because obviously I do. I want my team to win. But they have done everything that I get from here on out as a cherry on top. This is the most fun I've ever had watching the Bears. Now, is this the best Bears team I've ever seen? No. I still think the 2016 as a whole was a better team. I think the 2010 team as a whole was a better team just because this defensive unit is so lacking. It is a bottom five unit in the NFL. So just off of that, I think those are better teams. This is a more fun team with bigger potential and bigger offensive stars. I've never in my life have gone into a Bears game knowing they can just score 25 points in a quarter. Even when the offense was good in 2013 for that 1 year with Trestman's first year, it was not on the level it is right now as far as being able to score at will, and we definitely never had a quarterback like Caleb Williams. So, for me, everything is a cherry on top, but I'm with you, Joe. Like, I don't think defensively we can win the Super Bowl, but at the same time, if you look at the other seven teams that are left, they all have flaws. They all have flaws. San Francisco is beat down with injuries. San Francisco has a defense just as bad as we do. Seattle, I will not trust Sam Darnold until he shows me that he's not Sam Darnold. And that's just whether that's good or bad. That's just how I personally feel about that. If you look at the Los Angeles Rams, the team we're facing this week, they have quietly not really been that good the last 5 weeks. If you look at the games that they have played, the defense has been terrible. The offense has been up and down. They already lost to Carolina regular season. They almost lost on Saturday. I blame the Saturday loss on the defensive coordinator of the Carolina Panthers. Why are you running man after you finally took the lead against those wide receivers? I do not know. So they're a beatable team. And Matthew Stafford has an under 500 record in the elements. Now, I personally think bear weather is a little overrated, but that matters in this particular situation. So the Bears can beat the Rams. Look in the AFC. You know, there's some defenses in the AFC that frighten me. The Houston Texans defense puts the fear of God in me, but their offense does not. If CJ Stroud was even middle of the road, I would have them in the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? That's how scary that defense is. But the offense can be had. I'm not impressed by what I saw from the New England Patriots this past weekend. That showed me a lot more about the Chargers than it did the Patriots. The Broncos, really good defense. But you know how everybody talks about, oh, the Bears can't keep winning like this? They done won like 10 of their last 11 off a lot of comebacks too. They can't win like that either. And I still think Bo Nix has an extreme bozo gene. I cannot describe what it is, but that's just how it is with him. Josh Allen's fighting for his life. Josh Allen is fighting for his life on that team right now. It's Josh Allen FC. That's who the Buffalo Bills are right now. So if you look across the league, all these guys can be gotten. So, yes, I do believe the Bears have a legitimate chance. Whether they do that or not, they have a chance. And one thing I love is that Ben Johnson believes, these players believe. He said last week, be prepared to play 5 weeks. They're not thinking about this as we're playing with house money or this is our next year. And I know I've been telling people last couple days, they kind of remind me of the 2015 Cubs. This is the NFL, bro. We don't know what's going to happen next year. And even though we had injuries this year, I think on the offensive side of the ball, for the most part, the Bears have had a lot of injury luck. You don't know if that's going to carry on next year. So I just want the Bears to take full advantage of this opportunity. I do believe they're going to take full advantage of the opportunity. And one thing about these comeback wins that nobody's bringing up, that's going to start psychologically messing with teams. Because then they're going to feel like they can't mess up. If you even give the Bears a window of hope, they're going to come back. But I'm going to say this, I want to recap Saturday since we didn't really get to talk about the game in full. And it was cold outside. We did our post game. One thing about the Bears that I feel could be coming, the offense has not had a complete game since, I believe, week three against Dallas. Mm-hmm. And I loved how the defense played in the second half. Defense is the reason that Bears won that game. Like, we can be – I don't know. D.A. switched his whole game plan in the second half. One of my homies said the other day, think about what the story would have been if the Bears would have just recovered one of those three strips they had. The fact that they gave up 27 points, didn't get any turnovers, still won, tells me a lot. So I just feel like there's going to be a game where it's all going to click for the Bears. And my gut is telling me that game might be on Sunday. But let's talk about the game, because we can get to actually talk about the game. John, just tell me about the experience, because that was a special night for not just the Bears, but I think it's Chicago sports. We were there. Tell me what you felt about the experience of being in Soldier Field.
It was one of the most nerve-wracking times of my life. I think only one of the most nerve-wracking and one of the from that team up north. No, Michigan man. You don't get to use that team up north. Only I, as a Buckeye fan and a Bear fan, get to use that. You refer to them by their actual name. But I do love that Ben Johnson.
For those of you who are just listening to the audio, the chat said, I've been enjoying the meltdown from that Team Up North media fans.
And that's Orla, who's a Michigan fan. And if you know anything about college football, you know that it's damn near most of the time, but especially during rivalry, you don't refer to Michigan by name. You scratch out your M's. You call them that team up north, the team up north, several things. But going back to how it felt, it was one of the most nerve-wracking and one of the greatest times of my life. Bear in mind, I've seen the Bears go to the Super Bowl before, but I was 14 years old when that happened, versus now when I'm 35 years old. And having seen how the Chargers are firing Greg Roman, it's good for them. But having seen,
they should have been did that.
Should have did been did it. But seeing how the fans were, I mean, I got there. Scott got there probably almost 4 hours ahead.
I got there at 3:30. I was too nervous, bro.
You know, I got there at 4:10, 4:15. So about 3 hours ahead, 4 hours for Scott. And typically, you get there that early. There's plenty of parks in the parking lot. Tailgating is, you know, it's coming along, but not as many people are normally there. I got there. Almost every park was taken. I'm like, holy shit. Like, I'm glad I got here early enough, or I'd have been parking at the top lot, which is annoying to walk up and down. And then just seeing the atmosphere, it wasn't full of people who were terrified or who were scared. It was full of people who were happy to be here. And I saw Packers fans be quiet walking in. That was the biggest thing. It's like, I think what Packers fans, I got a little historical anecdote to go with it, but it's like when someone oppresses, one nation oppresses another nation for so long, eventually that other nation rises up against them, takes them down, fights them. And I saw that on the faces of Green Bay Packers fans. It's like, we have beat up, talk shit about the Bears for two decades. Even the wins they got against us, they're like, all right, that's cool. We know what's going to happen. We know when the manager is going to take them down. And for the first time in my lifetime, they felt dread. They felt dread that, man, we could lose this. They even went up, and then they made the mistake of being up 21-3, talking shit, posting videos, ESPN Milwaukee. I told y'all, boy, Jordan loved that dude. And in the end, to lose it all and to see their faces, to see how tired they look, to see how downtrodden. I'm like, this is energy for me. This is like manna from heaven to see that happens. Because at the end of the day, this is what sports is about. I know people were getting on, you know, off certain things within the media, but this is what it's all about. It's all about having these experiences between two teams, because rivalry just breeds the best out of it. It breeds the storylines, because not only is football about the sport, it's about the storyline that comes with it. And hearing the stadium shake with an eruption of 60,000 plus people there was just insane. And then after the game won, because typically what happens, I mean, even after a comeback, I mean, the Bears beat the Packers in, what was that? Was that week 16?
Week 16.
14? You know.
It was week 16. Week 14 was Lambeau. Week 16 was DJ Moore.
After that win, within about 3 minutes, people started to head out. Everybody stayed there, interacted with the players down there, just soaking it up. Me and Scott walked onto the field. I'm just like, wow, look where I'm at. Look what's happening. This is the longest we've ever covered the Bears in a singular season. And to see the joy on fans' faces, I know, one, this is a successful season without a doubt. And I know some people might look at it as, oh, man, you know, you're holding them back. You're not being as hopeful as you can. No. I think they have the offense to beat anybody. It's always just concerned. Yeah, talking shit. They talk so much shit. But it's always just like, how can we be realistic? If the Bears had the 2018 Bears defense, I'd be like, they're going to win the Super Bowl. You know, if they had the 2005 Bears defense, I'm like, they're going to steamroll everybody in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
So now it's just
you got 06, bro. It'd have been unfair. I'm not going to lie.
We had literally almost the best of everything at every position.
We'd be blowing people out, bro.
It would be blowout. It would be like 85, but like supercharged. I mean, think about it. The Bears were beating folks 24-0. Imagine if that team had a passing offense. Now, back in those days, running offense was the best. But imagine that.
And, I mean, and you'd have had that special teams unit too, with Devin Hester, Robbie Gold.
I just think about in the Super Bowl, the Bears beat Patriots 46-10, 85. And they had no good passing offense. They had the best running offense we've ever seen. But I'm like, so yeah, anywho, I say all that to say it was the greatest day of my life by far. And that's how much the Bears mean to me. The only thing that will get that will bring me more joy is the joy of the birth of my child in June. So, man, I loved it.
Yeah, for me personally, I'm just talking about me personally, because I feel like in a couple of years from now, we'll know how to rank this in the pantheon of great Chicago sports nights. But I do believe there's a good chance we can look at this night like that's where it all changed for the franchise. Like maybe 5 years from now, what's it, 2026, year 2031, maybe we got two Super Bowls by then, God willing. We could be like, yo, that's the season that changed everything. That might be the season that you look at like, oh, man, that's when it was fun. And not to say that it's not going to be fun going forward, but next year, extreme expectation hits. Next year, I expect next year's training camp to be the most busy training camp, fan-wise, traffic-wise, ever. Like, and all the training camps we've done, what, five training camps, four training camps at this point? They've all been pretty packed. This summer is going to be a whole nother thing. So, but for me personally, greatest night of my life as a sports fan. Bar none. Yeah. Bar none. Now, the first ever sports night I can ever remember in my life as a sports fan, was 1997 Steve Kerr shot over the Utah Jazz. That's the first ever sports night I can remember as a kid with anything, with me actually feeling good. I remember my mama telling me move away from the window because dudes were shooting outside after that, because do you remember when I thought that Tony Kukoc made a game winner? Because I didn't really understand game winners at the time. Because That was you who said that?
Okay. I started thinking logistically. I was like, well, the game winner was Tony Kukoc. He stole the ball, and Robin stole the ball, passed it, and he dunked. That was the game winner, not realizing it's what point.
Was it Robin stole it or was it Scotty who stole it?
Scotty stole it, hit it off the ground, pushed it to Kukoc. I'm not even sure if the clock was still going. At that point, you know, I mistakenly thought. This is Steve, by the way, who just posted that. Steve texted me like, "Hey, man, which put Steve's back up, because Steve has a grind."
Born Divine. Ron Dexter's biggest op.
He's Bavon, but all I know is Ron Dexter stinks. Second round pick to total bust, the worst starting lineman on the team. With respect to him as a person, because I've had very good conversations.
Right, yeah. Garvon is cool, but you are correct.
He's a cool person. I think 100%. I think he is a good depth piece. I do not think he is a starting defensive lineman. Somebody posted
I think this whole year will be better when there's a dog on the other side of Tez. You're going to think about this guy so much differently if there's a dog on the other side of Tez.
Because on top of that, like, I look at the Bears offensive line, that interior, that right, everything is full of dogs. Darnell Wright's a dog, Joe Tooney's a dog, Drew Dowman's a dog, all dogs. And so the Bears need that same thing. The biggest surprise since the White Sox won.
That's very true. No. The White Sox were predicted to finish fourth in the AL Central that year.
Who was that just posted that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got it. Yeah, that's our cousin. He's a Packer fan.
Our cousin Gary, who is a Packers fan. Welcome, Gary. Welcome. Welcome to Good, Better, Best.
Austin Booker
is going to be a very good player. I don't
know. You know why I love Book? Book was talking that shit. He was like, them niggas ain't who doesn't. When we hit Jordan Love, he said they had a problem. They should have did something. But what I was saying about the night was,
he randomly has five sacks this year. I'm like, you barely played until like the last half. So Mike said he had a tackle for loss.
Very valid question. I do not know. But like what I was saying. So yeah, 97 was my first night as a sports fan. Remembering a big night. But being, I think if I was just at home watching it, it would have been amazing. But being in the building from the beginning of the day where there was nobody in there, when I got to Soldier Field, it was so early, they weren't even passing out the playoff towels yet. The media will call was still closed. I went in there because I just had extreme anxiety. I have never been, as Mike said, flows is better than villains. But I just had extreme anxiety. This is the most nervous I've been for a sporting event since Super Bowl 41. And for those of you who are not Bears fans, you're probably looking like you're crazy. You've seen your team in a Super Bowl before. That is right. But this is the Green Bay Packers, bro. So I was just like, let me just get out the house. Part of it was to beat traffic. I remember how late we got there week 16 when we left at our regular time. So I was just like, let me just get there and I know I feel better. So I got there and I walked through the Waldron lot just to kind of like, you know, people were still setting up their tailgates. It was real quiet. It was real calm before the storm type vibe. And I walked into Soldier Field and I got to the concourse. I was like, let me just walk around the concourse. So I walked around the concourse like I was Ryan Poles. And like just you know, feeling the vibe, you know, the pre-stuff, like the concession people were putting stuff together. I walked into the stands and I took a picture, took a video of the field. And I was just like, and I just had a feeling all week and that day that the Bears were going to win that game. Now, I did lose faith during the game. When they went out 21-3, I was like, it's over. I didn't tweet no more because I just knew I was going to tweet something that I don't need to be tweeting. So I just stopped tweeting. But just incredible thing. Like it felt like a movie. It's one of those nights that you're always going to remember as a sports fan, and especially for Bears fan, because it felt like an exorcism, like, you know, just everything being released from you. And when DJ Moore, and I got to give it to the crowd. Now, Bang says it was different. Bang was in the crowd, and he said there wasn't people in the crowd who were giving up. But from what it looked like on TV and from in the press box, that the crowd was always lively. It wasn't really like any super, super, super dead periods in the game to me. And when that field goal missed, that's just like, oh, they opened this up for him. You know what I'm saying? And the thing was, when DJ Moore scored that touchdown, it was like, oh, he did it again. But my number one thing, Joe, I told you, is I was like, there's too much time left on the clock. I was petrified. But what on that 3rd and 15, and by the way, that delay of game saved their ass. I believe it was 3rd and 10, Jordan Love probably connects. That extra 5 yards saved the Bears. And when he was waiting so long, he's waiting so long, and when the ball's in the air, I said this on my show yesterday, I felt like that ball's in the air for 30 minutes. And I had every type of, you know, feeling in my head. I started thinking about 55-14 when the Bears could have clinched the division in 2013. I started thinking about 4th and 8. I thought about the Bears being up 17-0 doing Khalil Mack's first game and Aaron Rodgers coming out the locker room like the Undertaker. All that stuff started coming. And then if there was 5 minutes left, I'd have been tight at Kylo for dropping that ball. But I think he just tapped it down because it was the end of the game. It's like the whole building, it shook. I lived in Los Angeles for 10 years. I know what an earthquake feels like. That felt like an earthquake. And, you know, shout out our guy Adam Johns. He posted a video on his Instagram of his water shaking. Al Michaels said on a call, Al Michaels like, look, I've covered 31 games in the stadium. He said, I did the 86 World Series where it literally got stopped because of earthquake. I ain't never felt nothing like this. And, you know, just see all the joy, man. It was an incredible sports night. The players stand after to celebrate with the fans. Rome hopping into the stands. I didn't see that fan had that, you know how they give the Packers fans, the owners, things, the owner, Caleb Williams. Just an overall great night. Now, the challenge now is the emotions gone. Can you bounce back and think about, okay, the Packers are dead and gone. You finally knocked the bully out. Now let's go win a championship. That's what I think the vibe should be. That's what the vibe should be.
Yeah, but I agree wholeheartedly.
Let's move on to some of the reaction post-game. Now there's Ben Johnson, our fearless leader, Mr. Benjamin Johnson. He said, fuck the Packers, fuck them, fuck those guys, which really spoke for the entire city. He spoke for a fan base worldwide. And shout out to a lot of the worldwide Bears fans. We saw a lot of them. I saw a lot of people in the UK, a lot of people out in, you know, the Philippines. There was a lot of international Bears fans I saw on social media these last couple of days. Shout out to y'all. And people are mad. People are mad at Ben Johnson. You know, oh, he shook his hand. Like, when did we get so soft? You know what I'm saying? That we can't have real hate and rivalries. I love that Ben Johnson isn't sitting courtside at games like that clown Matt Eberflus was. I'm glad he's not doing that. And you know why LaFleur was doing that? Because LaFleur knew that he owned him, okay? It's like he was sonning Eberflus. Ben not going for none of that. I love that we can finally voice that we hate you. And I think Packers fans, Packers players, former Packer players, they're all so stunned that we can fight now. It's like when the bully finally gets knocked out by the kid he bullied. Like, he can't believe that he hit back. That's what it's like. It's like their entire fan base and everything are just in so in awe This is a rivalry now. This is how I want it to be. And the next time they beat us, I want them to act the same way. That's how it should be in sports. So I don't understand this soft stuff. We got people, clowns like Stephen A. Smith talking about it. You got to have some decorum. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you know, it's just so much. So you got that end of the spectrum, and you also got people treating Caleb like the superstar that he is. Like, it is he's everywhere. And so it's all over the NFL thing. I saw a clip from Rich Paul and Max Kellerman's podcast. One of Rich Paul was like, the NFL is just better when the Bears are good. Like, this is like, we forget that this is such a big team, and now that you got a quarterback, that's kind of like and you got a coach who don't care. And I think somebody said, I didn't know people hated Chicago. Like, bro, I keep comparing it to the Knicks. People don't like us. And the worst part for people is if we become the villain, because we the last fan base you want us to. So what's your thoughts on the extreme reaction, both from Ben and just all the love that's been showered at Caleb?
You know what? It's one thing is like one thing I believe is that America loves outward, like this righteousness, like look like you're doing good. And so if you're not being humble, then especially when you're used to losing, then it's a problem. On top of that, we don't like change. And so they have dealt with the Packers for two decades plus beating the mess out the Bears. Even when the Bears are winning, Packers are just like, you know, like it's nothing. And so all of a sudden you look up and the little brother is whooping the big brother's ass. The little brother's talking shit. And it's like, it hurts their sensibilities on what should happen in this hierarchy. And so because of that, I understand it. But it's also basic hypocrisy. You didn't care when Packers fans, I mean, think about it. The week up, we want the Bears. Oh, we got a chance to end the Bears season.
We got a chance to end their season. I want to get my leg back.
And so in a post-game speech, not directly to the player, not directly to the Packers themselves, but in a post-game speech where somebody in the background goes, man, fuck the Packers. He goes, I'm okay, but I'm hurt the Packers lost, but I'm happy for the city. I don't know how that works, Gary. I don't know how that works. I don't know how that works, Boo. His name is Boo, for those you don't know. I don't know how that works. Nickname's Boo. But so when I think about that, it's like, yeah, you're okay with them talking shit because you're used to that happening for quite some time. But now that Ben Johnson, he did gain it twice, but now that Ben Johnson has beat you all several times in a singular year, has a winning record against you, and then one of his players says, man, fuck them. He's been fucked back. Like, on top of that, if you've ever known sports, do you know how good it feels to hear your coach, who your coach is typically always older than you, has been in the game longer than you, and you hear him coming down with you all. And it's not like going to your level, but being at your level, camaraderie. To hear your coach say that, for us, it would be like Coach LeBlanc when I was in high school, and when we smoked Lane Tech twice, Max Preps, if you don't change them 2008 scores, it says Lane Tech beat us, and we beat them twice, once.
Somebody put on our Patreon comments, he said Joe's team was the flip the way we played Lane Tech. I was like, don't gas him up. All right, don't gas him up. It was our guy, Chris DJ on Twitter.
Lane Tech versus, yeah, because that was Chris played with Curry. And so Chris came, he graduated a year after me. I think they beat Lane Tech the next year, but he was a junior when I was a senior. And when I was a junior and I played my junior year, Lane Tech had beat Curry for so long. It was, they were used to it. Here comes the first game and we smoked them, like 35-15 or something crazy. And and in the playoffs, we beat them 18-13. They were so used to that happening. And I look on Max Preps when it has the scores of all the old games, you have to send them in. And it said Lane Tech beat Curry. I was like, we kicked y'all off the playoffs. But all of that to say that when you just figure it out, it's a difference. And so you want your coach. And so that was my point. If Coach LeBlanc, after we beat them that second time, knocked them out the playoffs, were to say, we said, man, fuck Lane Tech. And he goes, man, fuck Lane Tech. We would have been so, it would have felt good. Oh, you want your coach to run to that level. And it's also good that he didn't back down. Now, if in a week from now some shit, who knows? And all in the postseason or offseason, he goes, yeah, maybe it was a little too much. I can understand. But
in the heat of the moment,
GZ316. What it comes down to is they like lovable losers because they can expect you to be a loser and not challenge anything. But the moment you get better, it's like, what you doing here? You need to stay away and go back to your place. And so right now, man, it's we soft. You know, we as a society, I think about the society, we're not actually soft. We just like things the way that they are, and we don't like change. And when that happens, we use excuses for why we don't like it. When imagine if a Packers fan just said this, he's like, I love it when we get to say fuck them. I don't want them to say it to us. You could be like, your ass lame. But you're gonna say, you know what? I respect you being honest to me.
You know what I respect? Xavier McKinney's response to Ben Johnson. He said, oh, Ben's a troll. He said, I'm not a troll. He said, but I respect it. He said, he's a hell of a coach. Fair play. Fair play. You know what I'm saying? And even if he'd be like, man, fuck him. Still fair play. I like it. That's rivalry stuff.
And also you have to realize is that the Packers and the Bears are a legitimate rivalry. Like, for instance, the White Sox with the Cubs, that's not a rivalry.
It's not a rivalry.
It's a rivalry between fans, but fans, that ain't a real rivalry. Like, when the Cubs won the World Series, I was happy as hell for our mother. Like, I didn't go, oh, God. Like, when the Packers won the Super Bowl, I was like, this is some bullshit. Upset. Clearly upset. When Michigan won the national championship, I was like, niggas can't do nothing right and beat them. But when the Cubs won, I was like, oh, hey, man. You know, I was like, man, good job, Northside. I'm not rooting for the Cubs. I don't like
you
them.
You know why the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry stinks right now? Because niggas ain't squabbling like they used to. I'm with A-Rod. A-Rod was fighting Baratek. Pedro took an old man and threw him on the mound.
The Dave Chappelle, he just got it.
He just got it.
But also, it reminds me, before I forget, it reminds me of, was it last? It was last year when Michigan beat Ohio State at the Shoe. And Michigan stormed the field, was sitting on the O in the middle of the field, talking hella shit, fighting players. And Ryan did look like he could lost control. Jack Sawyer walks by him. He's like, Jack Sawyer, what happened? Jack Sawyer just ignores him. And then when they asked Sharon Moore, was his name? The newly fired serial predator, Sharon Moore, who they asked him, you know, do you think it was right for you all to storm the field and do that? And he was like, they ain't won it. They should have won the game. That's hate. That's how it's supposed to be. He made no excuses. He was like, nah, nigga, you better stop us. And what happened the moment we beat them niggas' ass this year? Jumped in their freaking stands. And while they sitting there protecting the M, they're going to touch our M. We in the stands with your fans, nigga. We in the stands with our boys who came. Brutus is on there crossing out the M in the end zone because that's what it's supposed to be. That's what it's supposed to be. That's rivalry. And whether people like it or not, if sports was 100% cordial and nice all the time, you'd hate it.
Yes,
you'd hate it.
Exactly.
You love sports to have the drama because it's like an opera and an Olympic sport in one. It's in one. At the beginning of the Bears game, before it happens, you see them in the middle of the field talking shit. From Tory Taylor, who is the person who they talk shit to the most. Tory Taylor, I just want to punt. Why are you in the middle of the field?
You don't fuck with them Australian drama. Niggas, man.
What do you say?
You don't mess with them Australian niggas, man.
You know what I'm saying? That drama is the beauty of the sport. Accept it. Because if the Packers come back next year, and let's say we beat them both in the season, but they come in the playoffs and knock them out, I'm going to be heated. But I'm going to respect the fact that they can talk all that shit. Because now we're talking about Packers fans. I've never seen a team so obsessed with another team. I was like, brother, at the draft, Clay Matthews got up in there and said, oh, I've got something. The Bears still suck. What does that have to do with us? It had nothing to do with us. But you know what it does? We're rivals. We're rivals.
And then also, I like real hate. Like, I don't know if y'all saw week 18 in San Francisco when it was Monday, I don't know if it was Monday Night Football, but anyway, it had to be because Troy Aikman was there. Troy Aikman on the field. Jerry Rice walked past that nigga like he never seen him before. That's real hate from the Niners Cowboys days. He looked at him and kept walking. That's what I like in sports. You know what I'm saying? I like the North Carolina Duke rivalry. I like Michigan, Ohio State. I like what Lakers Celtics used to be. You know what I'm saying? Red Outback is like, cut the heat up on them niggas. You know what I'm saying? You know, have somebody call the Laker hotel every day. You know what I'm saying? In 2010, when the Lakers and Celtics played the NBA Finals, do you know that Los Angeles delayed the Celtics flight back to Boston on purpose? And they said Phil Jackson and Kobe and them drove or flew off while they were still waiting on the tarmac. That's real hate, okay?
I want everything short of death threats. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You don't have to threaten them. Like, keep that somewhere else. Like, I'm sure fans, when, like, there's something bad in the middle of the game, said, oh, I want to kill this nigga. Like, that type of thing. keep that to yourself or in your house. Don't put that online. Don't make actual threats. But anything short of that, brother, I am for it. I mean, think about it. Didn't the Bears have like issue with the headsets in Lambeau? Am I mistaken?
No, they did have issue with the headsets.
Do you think for a second that was an actual
2025 that there was problems?
It was on purpose, so much so that Ben Johnson, who has coached before in Lambeau, obviously not as a head coach, prepared for it. What, bro? This is sports. I want to see it. You know what I'm saying? I want to see the drama, the pageantry. It was great, man. It was fun as hell. And if the Packers do that next year, I'm like, hey, man, they deserve it. They got
fair,
the right.
Fair play.
Fair play. If you come back and you smoke us, Christian Watson catches it over Nashawn Wright to end the game in Lambeau, I'm like, you want, I'm going to be heated, but I'm going to take my licks. Because you also have to think about it. Bears fans, Scott, how long have we had experience with taking our licks?
Decades. 30 years.
I know nothing but going, hey, man, they won, you know?
Yep. I'm trying to see. What was that? That was a video. I think the Lakers had beat the Celtics in, like, game two of the NBA Finals. And KG was looking across the court, and he just did this, like, bet. It's real rivalry. And also, I was saying this about the rivalry. Detroit and Minnesota, shut up while grown folks talking, okay? Order has been restored. We the only franchises that matter. We built this. Y'all sit over there and play at the kids' table, okay? So that's what I feel about that. But before we get to Bears Rams, what'd you feel about the love that Caleb's getting? Because it's everywhere. People doing the what's called the Iceman. And I know everyone's like, Cole Palmer. Yes, cool. Cole Palmer, Morgan Rogers, Trey Young. It doesn't matter. It's been taken, okay?
Here's the thing is that a football quarterback, if they're extremely popular, can be just as popular as can be near the popularity of some of the biggest stars in the Prem and the Champions League. Now, obviously, someone at the tip of the top of soccer like Messi and Ronaldo are stratospheres. But yeah. I think about who do you think is the biggest athlete of all time?
Biggest, Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan. So that's to say that obviously football is different, but an American athlete can be that big. I don't know how big Caleb's will get.
Like PSG jerseys have a Jordan logo on. It's Michael Jordan.
Which is just it's the fact that there was not social media, not internet, not internet, and to see he's that big is just nuts. But it just goes to show that yes, Caleb can get big. He can become a superstar. But seeing people celebrate a Bears quarterback is odd as hell. It's odd as hell to me. Cameron was like, that boy cold. And I was like, what? Like, I don't know. It's like, this is so odd. Like, me and Scott are going to sound like an abused spouse. An abused spouse who leaves their husband, and they meet a true love. And now their girlfriend or their boyfriend at the time is loving to them, cares for them. And you're like, huh? And I have all my own personal experience. Me, my ex, you know, whatever, she cool, no issues with her. But the love I receive and the help I receive from my fiance, my girl now, is so different that I'm like, now it's to the point where I'm like, should you be doing this? You need help? You know what I mean? Like, she's made me lunch every day, and I'm like, I feel so wrong. I need to help you. And she's like, no, I like doing this. What are you talking about? I'm not used to it, so that feels great. And so take that to the sports analogy where me and Scott are used to just not having anything when it comes to football. Me and Scott have seen literally every single one of our professional sport teams win. I've seen all of mine, including my college team, win. I have seen the Blackhawks win. I have seen the White Sox win. I've seen the Blackhawks win a lot. I've seen the Bulls win a lot. The Wolves have won a lot. In addition to that, the Buckeyes have won three in my lifetime. The only one I was waiting on was the Bears. And throughout the time, about all this 35 years of all of these teams winning, the Bears have won zero. And so now all of a sudden, our quarterback is being praised for being cold. Iceman is a name that has stuck. People are saying, man, I want to be a fan of him. They are people who are in whole other countries who maybe or maybe not they were Bears fans. I'm guessing if you're in the UK, you are already a Bears fan because you have struggled with us for a while. But yes. Oh, my goodness. Tyler Dunn's hit piece.
We got to talk about that hit piece at the beginning of the year, which is even crazier now.
And so I say that to say, dog.
Chicago Rush win a trip.
We have seen literally the freaking sky one.
Sky won.
Like, I cannot, the Cubs won. Cubs on my team, but the Cubs won. I cannot remember a time where this has happened before. And so now the Bears only won a singular playoff game. If they win against the Rams, I'm gonna be like, all bets are off. I don't know what the hell to do anymore. But it's a weird feeling. It's exciting. I'm just overjoyed. I'm happy. We're playing with house money, but eventually it's gonna say, man, it's house money to like, man, hell no, win. Yeah. Hell no, win, because you don't know if you're going to get back. After the Bears won the Super Bowl in 2006, it was February 2006, Peanut Tillman looked at Urlach and said, we're going to be back here. Wrong, nigga. No, you weren't. You never got back there. You never got back there.
Very rarely did. In the last 10 years, only two teams have gotten back after losing, the 49ers and the Eagles. And only one of them actually went on to win, Chiefs. And that was the Eagles.
I would say the Chiefs won.
Well, the Chiefs – well, okay, that's right, the Chiefs, but they – yeah, you're right. They originally lost, didn't they? No, they won the first Super Bowl they made. Yeah.
Lost the second?
Yeah, but you're still kind of right, though, because in 2018, that was his first year as a starter. Right. I mean, they lost in overtime to the Patriots in one of the greatest championship games I've ever seen in my life, where Brady walked them down. Shout out to that Baltimore Ravens content creator. He called Caleb Walk Him Down Williams. I like that. That's a good nickname. But yeah, I'm with you. It's a new feeling. I feel like Will Ferrell and Talladega Nights. I don't know what to do with my hands. Like, that's how I feel when it comes to Caleb Williams and Jermaine Jones, who used to play for the Packers. He said it the best on Shady McCoy. He said, "What scares me as a Packers fan, this is the worst that Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams are going to be." Like, next year, I believe this offense is going to be diabolical. Okay. Yeah. You're going to have year two of Caleb in this season system, year two of Ben Johnson as a head coach, year two Luther Burden, year two Colston Loveland. Come on, man. Colston is incredible. You know, this past Saturday, he's had more yards in a playoff game than Travis Kelce ever had.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane. So to see the national view towards him, I love it. And it's even better for me because I remember watching Caleb at USC. The Trojans are LA's professional team. So I saw a lot of Caleb his 2 years at USC. And 2 years ago,
the only football team they care about in Southern California?
No, they care about the Rams, but it's not as – to me, the two biggest football teams in Southern California – three biggest football teams in Southern California. Number one, it's the USC Trojans. Number two, it is the San Francisco 49ers. Number three is the Dallas Cowboys. And then I actually think will be the Raiders. The Rams come in five. People care about the Angels more than they care about the Chargers. People care about the Angels more than they care about the Chargers. Chargers are the least cared about team in that whole entire state. Okay? But I just love seeing what we're seeing from the reaction. Okay. And one thing about Caleb, he don't let it get to his head. Because Caleb was in Carl's Jr. commercials in college. He had a condo downtown LA in college. So he's used to all this. You know what I'm saying? So that's what's been great for me to watch it. But it's just been overall fun. But there's one point you said before we get to Bears Rams, we'll close it out with that. When you said that eventually it's going to go from I'm having fun to just get it done. I think if the Bears win on Sunday, it's going to be like, okay, you two wins away now.
Yeah, you got to win now.
And especially if you're at home, the great thing I love about the Bears being the last game this weekend is we're going to know what their situation is before we kick off.
Right.
You're going to know if – I'm rooting for San Francisco because I want NFC Championship game in Chicago. If San Francisco wins, you get your rematch against the Niners at home. If Seattle wins, what do you say? Yeah, I'm concerned a little bit, but I packed that thing too. Like, that would be a tough game. Seattle is probably one of the toughest environments to play in the playoffs. I don't even know if they've lost the playoff game on. I'm pretty sure they have, but I just can't remember.
Seattle's defense reminds Seattle and the Texans are Patriots are up there too. But I would say Seattle and the Texans are what I believe are the two best defenses left. Yeah. The Seahawks.
You don't like the Denver defense?
They're very good, but I think that they're better. At least I think they finished.
I think Denver better than the Patriots defense.
But oh, yeah. Denver's better than the Patriots defense. When I look at the Seahawks defense, it reminds me of like some Doberman pinches, a Labrador, not Labrador, German Doberman pincher, or like a German Shepherd. These big, stocky.
Shout out to former Bulls coach Johnny Bach for the Dobermans. We used to call Scotty and Mike right. Dobermans.
That's what they remind me of. And so what do you, yeah. you don't think about them Dobermans as just like wild of race. You think of like, man, you don't want to touch them because you know it's going to get rough. The Texans remind me of some ravenous wolves that I just raised the head off. They yeah. might give up 15 one play, but that the next four plays, you're going to be on your ass every play. They're yeah. a horrifying defensive line. When I watched the game, I said, bro, Aaron Rodgers is dropping back, and within a second, the line collapsed.
And getting killed.
Right.
And that whereas, secondary is lethal.
Whereas the Seattle defense is so situationally stout, it's yeah. insane. It's like, yeah, we're going to pressure you. But also, you know what? We might switch up this defense. The skies and drop back and cause you to throw a pick. You're running. You're not getting a singular yard. And so, yeah, they're definitely scary. But I would rather – and because of that, I'd rather play the Niners because we know them. Yeah. That Niners defense is ass.
Niners defense stinks, and you get them in the elements. You get them in the elements. Right. And now – I put like this. If they got Seattle, right, if the Bears beat the Rams and they get Seattle – it's going to be extremely tough. But if the Bears beat Seattle in Seattle, I believe they're winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
If you can go into Seattle and beat them at home against that defense and against that offensive line, because that's why Darnold plays so well, because you can't touch him.
Yeah.
So, you know, his bozo gene flares up if you can get to him. The problem is ain't nobody been able to get to him. So with all these odds, they have all their strengths are the Bears' weaknesses. So the Bears found a way to win, in the words of our guy Cap, find a way to win a football game. If they play Seattle NFC Championship game and beat them on the road, I believe they win the Super Bowl. That's what I mean. I believe they win the Super Bowl if they can do that.
Yeah.
So that's how I feel about that.
But, you know, one thing for sure, I think this game against the Rams will let me know, because I think the Rams are the best offense left. After them would probably be the Niners, and then after them would probably be the Patriots. The Rams offense was number one throughout the year. Just an incredible offense. I mean, the running back room is diverse. It gets it done. In addition to that, we know that Matthew Stafford is one of the best quarterbacks. He's the best quarterback in the game outside of Patrick Mahomes. There is no check down. It's insane. And so he's the best quarterback outside of Patrick Mahomes left. And a matter of fact, if Stafford wins this MVP, he's absolutely going to the Hall of Fame. I was a little bit like, season, but he would go to the Hall of Fame now. Not only is it very difficult to beat him in the just regular passing, if you try to press him, the short passing opens up, and it's just insane what he can do. That being said, Matthew Stafford has not spent a lot of time in cold weather. Now, a lot of people go say, well, he played the NFC North. Yes. But what is it about Detroit that's different than other NFC North teams? It's a dome.
I actually have a stat for you about him in a minute, but keep going.
It is a dome. They have spent, now, of course, they would then travel to Minnesota, to Chicago, to Wisconsin. And so he absolutely has experience in the cold. But his college career and the majority of his NFL career, he spent in warm weather, Georgia, or in a dome in Ford Field. So because of that, I know that the cold is an advantage. The biggest issue I have is that, can they slow down that passing attack? The rushing attack, I believe they can absolutely slow it down. The passing attack is a difficult part. Jalen Johnson, who's coming off that groin injury, is going to have to guard one of the best wide receivers in the league. And if somebody said he's the best wide receiver, I would be mad. Puka Nacua is ridiculous. And you look at him, you think, man, he's about 5'10". That boy is 6'2", stocky, strong hands, strong in general, can block in addition to that. He gets that ball in his hand. He is incredible in space. He is just insane.
Okay, here's my stat for you. Matthew Stafford in the outdoors in the rain, snow, has a 1-8 record, a 1-9 record, because I think this is before they played Philly in the playoffs last year. So a 1-9 record, 54.6 completion percentage. He has, 59 completion percentage, and he has 16 TDs, and he also has 11 interceptions with a 76% passer rating.
Like I said, like, this is the best time, I think, to get in. So even if you stop Puka Nacua, Davante Adams, who may not be in his prime, can still absolutely get it done. They got great tight ends, a good offensive line. They are a very good team offensively. And also, we know what their coach can do on offense. Probably the best offensive mind in the league. And so I would, if the Bears lost to them, it would not be a shock at all. Right now, my struggle is, can they stop them on offense, or can they do enough to stop them on offense? Because what we saw with the Niners was the defense stopping nobody. Now, there were injuries and there were things that were not happening, but they were not stopping them. But, and the key, I think the X factor in this game is going to be DeMarco Jackson. With TJ Edwards being out for the year, for the rest of this year with that injury, with, you know, respect to him, TJ Edwards, I had one of my funnest, one of my best interviews with him, because TJ is native to Chicagoland. And, you know, we talked about, hey, man, being back in the city again, you were raised around here, obviously not from Chicago, but you grew up in Chicagoland in this region. So for me, it's like, that's why I think like Chicagoland should just be named Chicago, just like LA has LA County, but that's besides the point.
I actually agree with that.
With the dominant city,
just name Los Angeles, the city, and there's Los Angeles County. I agree with that.
Okay, which is why someone like Kendrick could say LA, but he's from Compton, but that's still LA County. And and so I think, you know, so he has experience with the Chicago regional and metropolitan area. So he knows it. We chatted with him. He loved it, man. He talked about Summertime Shy. And so to see him go down like that really sucked.
That being and said, it also DeMarco sucked, too, because I have a soft place in my heart for the free agents who joined us when it was rough. And he had just came from a team where, you know, he had won a Super Bowl a couple years with the Eagles before. So he took obviously the money help, but you took a leap to come to the Bears. That's why I got a soft spot for TJ. And the injury looked terrible.
Right. And so now with DeMarco Jackson in relief, like, because first we saw it was Amen, and I forgot who the other person came in.
DeMarco played great in that second half on Saturday.
DeMarco has played great in every game he's played. And then I think what I failed to realize is DeMarco's size. He's a big freaking dude. Yeah. And DeMarco, I think, is like 26, 27 years old. He played at Appalachian State. He was a very, very good player in college. And he was a fifth-round pick for the Saints, and I'm pretty sure he spent most of his career just being behind in special teams. But he was named Defensive Player of the Week in Week 15, and I think he's just been really good at relief. This is not me saying he's the long-term solution, no. But I think right now he's on a great streak, and I think if he plays his position well, that could be the reason that they win. I expect Tremaine Edmonds to get the job done. Tremaine Edmonds might not be the best when it comes to coverage, but Tremaine Edmonds knows how to command his area. Well, I mean, man coverage, but he's good in zone. He knows how to hit the hole and blitz. I think DeMarco will be the X factor. Kyler, another week under his belt of rest and also of training, improves. You start to see more because what I think that they missed with C.J. Gardner-Johnson with his ability to get to the quarterback, his ability to just control that first 5 yards near the line of scrimmage, Kyler makes up with just being a cover-to-cover cornerback. And so I'm looking forward to that. And I think my two X factors will be Nashawn Wright and DeMarco Jackson. If they have good games, I find it hard to see the Bears not winning.
Okay, this is a good stat right here from Ed J. Rollins on YouTube. I didn't know this stat. He said, I'm late, not sure this was said already, but 5 of the last 6 teams to eliminate the Packers have gone to the Super Bowl. That is what we call a fun fact. Joseph says, Kyler Gordon being back is so important. He is amazing in the run game. Just his presence last weekend was incredible. Same thing with Rome, because Rome made the play to save the season. You know what I'm saying? So I'm expecting I think the thing for the Bears for me is I think the biggest blow is going to be Ozzie Trapilio. He had the patella injury. That's 6 to 12 months. Let's hope it's in the 6-month range and not the 12-month range, because if it's 12, he's all out for all of next year. So Theo Benedict, he's going to be starting on Sunday. Now, I'd much rather have Theo there than Braxton Jones, but Theo ain't been good either. So that's gonna be an issue for me.
Right. I don't know if Jared Verse plays on both sides of the line. I can't really think in my head right now, but Jared Verse is a very, very terrifying man on the defensive line.
Yes, he is.
Putting that fan down, getting that 3-point and blitzing. And
let's thank the Lord above that Aaron Donald is retired.
Man, Aaron Donald here, I might say that's gonna be a loss.
If AD was there, I'm like, I don't know if we're scoring 15 points.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, Jared Verse being there is probably the one thing I'm like, that's a bit difficult. Yeah. You know, but I do think the Bears absolutely have what it takes to beat all of them. Jared Verse, you know, he can wreck it. He can absolutely wreck it.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's going to be – but I do think the offensive line coach Ben Johnson, Declan Doyle. I think they're gonna
come. Oh, Mike Tomlin is leaving.
That's not really shocking. Well, so they doing a mutual. They doing a mutual leaving thing.
Said Mike. Adam Scheffler just tweeted it, and apparently it looks like Mike Tomlin, after a historic 19-run season, Mike Tomlin just reported to the team that he is stepping down.
Yeah, you know what that was.
Yeah.
That's we want to fire you, but you've been here too long, so we're going to mutually do it. So that's big. So two of the longest tenure coaches, Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh, both gone. I wonder if Mike Tomlin even coaches again. Because obviously we know John Harbaugh is going to coach again. There's been rumors, you know, Giants, Dolphins. Some people even said that, you know, maybe the Packers, if they did get rid of Flo. Yeah, exactly. Joseph in the chat. He getting the John Paxson treatment. Remember people thought John Paxson got fired? No. You still see him at the United Center. But, yeah, man, shout out to Mike Tomlin, one of my favorite coaches. But long overdue, I ain't gonna lie. They ain't won a playoff game since 2017. That type of shit is unacceptable in Pittsburgh. Some franchises have higher standards. The Steelers are one of those. So, but my thing on this, and then we're gonna give our picks and we're gonna wrap this up. Shout out to everybody. We got 1,000 people in the chat. Shout out to everybody watching on YouTube, on Twitter, all that. I do believe that Ben, Dan Rozier, our offensive line coach, and Declan Doyle are going to put together a good enough plan to try to at least make things easier for Theo and try to make it a little better on that left side. But to me, I think that another week of practice for Roma Dunze, Kyler Gordon is going to come off amazingly. But I would assume that C.J. Gardner-Johnson will be out of concussion protocol and he'll be able to play on Sunday, which would be a big boost. Nick McCloud was getting his ass whooped on Saturday, so I do not want to see that on there. But I just got a feeling this game to me feels weird because I feel like a lot of people expecting a lot of fireworks, a lot of points being scored. You know, that's a good point. Theo is good in the run game. That's another thing. The run game's got to dedicate to that. I feel like this is going to be a weird game. And I feel like this is going to be a game where the Bears are going to play as close to a complete game as we've seen. That's just my bold prediction. So I'm going to roll my bold prediction. My bold prediction, Bears win 28-24 is my bold prediction. I think that Matthew Stafford throws the Bears two of them. And I think Caleb Williams has three touchdowns. So I'm going to go 28-24 Bears. And I think that the Niners are going to find a way to beat Seattle.
Yeah.
It's a division game. Second time they played in 3 weeks. I'm going to say Bears Niners NFC Championship game at Soldier Field. Shout out to everybody in the chat. Yeah, we did see Thomas step down. That's huge. Steelers offense is broken. Yeah, I knew that's how I knew that. Texans were gonna murder people yesterday. Bears going 34-7. That'd be awesome.
You know, the funny thing is, in my head, I have two options: it's a Bears blowout win, or it's a Rams close win. That's the two options in my head. The biggest thing that I think is the issue is that Matthew Stafford is a very good quarterback. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame. He is very good at the blitz. It's just so hard to blitz him. Because the moment he knows that you're going to send some pressure, it's getting checked or he's finding his first check down person. And that person, someone like Puka Nacua, is going to take that 8 more yards after the initial 2-yard catch. And that's why it's so hard to stop him. What's easier, what makes it easier and why it's during the season, the Rams lost to the Eagles, losing to the Falcons, because the front four on both teams was just getting at him every single time, and they didn't have to send extra pressure. So they were able to send 4 and drop back 7. And so when Matthew Stafford sees the pressure and he wants to go to his first read, it's already taken up. And once it happens, he's immediately on the ground. The problem is the Bears' defensive line has not gotten pressure by themselves. And it's not that Dennis Allen doesn't call blitzes. He does call blitzes, but, man, it's like the second half, the defensive line then wakes up and they realize I can blitz the quarterback. So I think the keys to win this are, one, time of possession. They have like the 13th or 14th ranked run defense. The Bears have a top 3 run defense. They can absolutely stop them. Conversely, the Rams have the top ranked pass offense. as I said before, if they can get pressure with that front four, I think that's the game. The issue is, if any team can get pressure with their front four, it boosts up their chance challenges spectacularly. But my three, that's three, four, five. I'm just going off the top of my head. What would be the keys? First thing is first. You have to get pressure on Matthew Stafford without having to blitz. You might have to disguise your blitzes. You might have to overload a side. You might have to do something, but you're going to have to get those front four, whether it's Andrew Billings, Grady Jarrett, Javon Dexter, Steve's op, and then Austin Booker, and then, of course, obviously Montez Sweat. They have to get pressure on their own. If they can do that, that boosted that challenge. Next, you're going to have to deal with that turbo motion. What I mean by that is the Rams love to motion 1,000 people at one time, and that motion is what allows all of them to get separation. You have to going to be able, they need to score early. Sure. But I think you're going to have to be able to communicate. It's going to have to be DeMarco talking to Tremaine, Tremaine talking to Jalen, Jalen talking to Byard, Byard then talking to Kyler, Kyler then talking to Jaquan. It's going to have to just be movement. Okay, I see them. I see them. We got a 38 if somebody's coming out the backfield. Stafford's looking to his tight end. You're going to have to be able to do that. And that's what I saw against the Packers. They started breaking out and they were communicating efficiently. So when they're throwing a screen, when they're throwing a dump-off pass, when they're reverting it to a run, when they're shifting the protection, I saw them do that. I saw them communicate, and I think that's one of the biggest reasons they won. So you have to deal with getting pressure with your front four, dealing with the turbo motion from the offense because they're going to motion every play. Bear in mind, the Bears like to motion every play too. That's why they're two of the best offensive right now because the Bears love to motion. Ben Johnson loves that motion. After that, time of possession. You're going to need to utilize time of possession. Long drives. I don't care if Caleb throws for 150 and has a touchdown. If Manungai and Swift account for 250 or 300 yards, that needs to happen. You do that, I think they win the game. And then outside of that, I think it's time for Caleb to actually not spread the ball around. I think Caleb should look to his security blankets this game.
And I talked about that early in the season, but find your core guys. Right.
A heavy dose of DJ Moore and Colston Loveland. And then when they're boxed up, relying on Luther Burden. Rome Odunze is still recovering from that injury, so I know he can't have as many snaps as the rest of them. And so you'll probably see the vast majority of that time. Either you'll see the Bears in some 12 personnel when you'll have Kyle Manungai, DeAndre Swift as a running back, and then Colston Loveland, Cole Kmet. Or you'll see them in a freaking 11 personnel where it's a tight end and a running back. But you're going to need to see that happen constantly. If they do that, I really, really think this will be a really handed Bears win. If that doesn't happen, I can see that being a close loss. But you do that, scoring early, obviously, is the thing. I still personally like getting that ball at half. But
yeah, I do believe Ben was a little thirsty on Saturday. I understand it, and I probably would have did the same shit. But now that the emotion is evolved from, I think you're going to see a much more calm Bears team because there was so much emotion these last couple games. You know, you got the two Packer games, you got the Niners game on Sunday Night Football, Kyle Shanahan, Ben Johnson. You know, can Caleb go up against a high-powered offense and go band for band? And then, of course, Detroit factor. There's so much emotion these last couple games. And not to say there ain't emotion in this, but there's nothing but respect for McVay and Ben Johnson. Like, Kyle Shanahan is one of LaFleur's guys. And I'm not saying Shanahan and Ben Johnson got beat, because from what I heard, I don't know if that's the case. But I did hear today that a lot of the people who fuck with LaFleur do not fuck with Ben Johnson. There's nothing but love between McVay and Ben Johnson. So I think it's going to be a little bit more, I don't want to say a respectful thing, but I think it'll be easier for them to dial in. And who is Caleb Williams' favorite quarterback, he always just say? It's Matt Stafford. So there's going to be, like, I feel like it's going to be a more calm Bears, and I think that'll have them a better way to focus this week than it was last week, if that makes sense. And I think they'll make smarter decisions because there was a couple fourth downs I didn't understand. You know what I'm saying? And that I didn't get, but it was a Packers. We got to beat them. Ooh. So I agree with you on that one.
Yeah.
So what's your final score? Unless you were finishing up your breakdown. I don't want to cut you off. My bad.
No. That is my breakdown. I think those are the keys to the game. And I think, obviously, the cold affects quarterbacks who are not used to it. Because imagine you're used to being between the 60s and the 70s or the 50s and the 70s, and then all of a sudden you're back in 10 o'clock. You're back at 10 degrees. You're back in under that. But I think we're going to see the most complete game from the Bears offense that we've seen since the Dallas game. I mean, shoot, since the Niners game. That Niners game, they were coming out blazing. Yeah, true. But of course,
I think it'll be the most complete team performance since the Dallas game.
I'm expecting to see some big Cairo kicks, some very good kickoffs, some solid punts from Torrey Taylor, who Torrey Taylor quiet as kept is having a very good year as punter. I love that he's not just booming and he's directionally angling it. And so if Torrey can get those sidelines, I mean, hitting the hashes, being able to get that ball to bounce forward to get more yards.
Duvernay continue to get us in good position. Duvernay's been good the last couple weeks.
Devin Duvernay has been, you know, it doesn't seem like he has that breakaway speed to get past, but he's getting to the 40 to 50. If the special teams comes out, it's also going to be a good game. And that's why I said I can see a Bears blowout or a Rams close win. Yeah. Because, again, we are playing with house money. But me and Scott, because we're fans, we've covered the team for 6 years. We can think realistically. You know what I mean? We don't have to be so struggling that we can't go, oh, no, they're going to blow it out Bears. No, we can think realistically. And for the first time in a long time, this is not Bears' illusion guiding our thought process. The Bears can genuinely beat anybody in this postseason. The issue is that the Bears have yet to find a game where they really come together and they mesh completely in all three phases of the game. Because every good, better, best video you've seen, Ben Johnson says, if we can clean this up, because they know that you clean that up, you beat anybody. And
if I'm the Rams, one thing I would be afraid of is I just feel that avalanche is eventually going to come. And I think Saturday, Sunday is a great opportunity. We name all the phases. I know this sounds corny, but it's true. The fourth phase, being in Soldier Field matters. The Bears have turned Soldier Field into a fortress. They have lost two games there all season. Okay. And one of them they shouldn't have lost. All right. So both came down to the wire. That's legitimately going to be a fear. And if you are the Los Angeles Rams, this is where all the comebacks helps you. If it's the fourth quarter, let's just say you even up 10, you're not going to feel comfortable because, you know, any kind of light, and it could be a light, a big 15-yard Calvin Nunge run, it's going to be an issue. So I feel like there's a lot of mind games that the Rams are going to have to play, but I do believe they got the coach that's equipped to have them ready. And that's, in my opinion, the best coach in the NFL is Sean McVay.
Yeah. You know, if he had a consistent amount of players and personnel and also health, I'm sure he would have more than one Super Bowl he has right now. So this is I'm not going to take them lightly. I mean, Alex Smith just went on, what's that? Kay Adams and said he thinks they're gonna hang 50. I'm like, okay, let's relax here. Yeah. I don't see that happening. But if they were to win, it wouldn't be sitting, man, how we lose to them? No. This is a Super Bowl winning quarterback and a Super Bowl winning coach, and they are very good at what they do. Probably MVP, probably Hall of Famer. They're very good at what they do. I think this will be a big test. But if they do this, everything changes for the Bears. So my feeling is, unlike last week where I was just nervous the entire week, I feel good. I feel good. I know I can leave Soldier Field in satisfaction. I thought I wouldn't be sad if they lost, but I can leave saying, damn, what a great season. What a great amount of hope that they gave to this city. But I also know that it's not done yet. I also know that they have more than they can give.
Yeah, 100%. And the team believes that as well, man. So that is all we got for y'all. Y'all know you got a roll. I actually got a roll too. Shout out to everybody watching. We got a lot of followers over these last couple weeks. So we appreciate all y'all for tuning in. We got a Caleb Williams shirt that I'm actually going to repost. We dropped
also shout out to Tyler. I am true with his own Twitter. He retweeted our podcast, and I was like, because let me just get 1200 from today. Shout out to him, appreciate it.
Shout out to him. So shout out to everybody who's been watching. Per usual, I will be at Hallis Hall on Thursday. I'm going on Assistance Day. I'm interested to see what DA is going to say about the game plan this week. Declan Doyle is getting rumors is he's gonna be getting some interviews. He doesn't call the plays. Declan is a very integral part of the Bears' offensive plan. So I'm interested to see what he's gonna say. Hightower, because I think all the phases got to come to play this Sunday. So I'll have that. I'll be doing open locker room, all of that, and then Friday we'll do a full updated Bears preview where I'll be able to get y'all injury reports. And we'll also be previewing the other wild card games. We are in the Elite Eight of the NFL season. So tune in with us, man. So anyway, follow us at Barbershare Scott, at Flows and Lenny. All of the links are in the description box right now. Right now. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. Subscribe to the Patreon, man. We're going to holler at y'all on Sunday after the game for our on-field post-game, and then next Tuesday per usual. Hopefully, we'll be previewing the NFC Championship game and not recapping the season. Either way, we gonna holler at y'all. We up out of here.
Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis, know that we can know you way back from the beginning. A trusted source for the news. Seven Knife and Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. Seven Knife and Hallis in your ears, you.
Awesome. The Bears.